chapter 1. As we look at these words of the Apostle James to those who are scattered, we understand that the truths that he wrote to them are truths that we today are to believe and receive. In verse 22, James writes, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The word doers is a word that means to complete anything, or to make something of some things. It really has in it the idea and its original meaning of writing a poem. Someone who took words and placed them in such sequence, such relationship one to another, as to form a poem. And as we look at this statement, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves," we see that James is instructing these people to take the words that they hear. And the words that they hear are the words of God. Take the words of God and then construct something from them. What is it that you and I can construct from the word of God? It is faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we take the word of God, and as it builds in us, or as we use it to build faith, this faith becomes the platform or the foundation upon which we stand to then do the things that the Bible teaches us to do. By faith, the Bible tells us, Abraham, our father, offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Did Abraham hear the word of God? Yes, he did. Did he take the word of God and construct something from it? Yes, he did. What was this that Abraham constructed from hearing the word of God? It was faith, and the faith became the foundation or the platform upon which he stood then to do the things that God told him to do. Abraham, standing upon the platform that he had constructed from the words of God, which were faith, he then did what God told him to do. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. That is, don't simply listen to what is said and then let those words lie scattered abroad or about, like someone who dumps a load of lumber out on a vacant lot and never puts it into its proper place and therefore never builds anything. Anytime a person who calls himself a builder simply dumps a lot of lumber on a vacant lot and then pronounces that to be a house is fooling himself. And that's exactly what James is saying here. Anytime you listen to the word of God, that is, you hear it with your ear and you don't do anything with it, you don't build anything out of it, then you are a hearer of the word only. And just like a builder would be sued if someone hired him to build them a house and said, "Here's the lot. The fellow ordered all the material, all the plumbing, and all the electrical supplies and had them dumped on the lot, and then said to those people, 'I have your house ready.' They'd go and look at it and say, 'That's not a house. It's just a pile of material. We can't live there. It's not complete. You didn't make anything out of it.'" That's the way people are when they hear the word of God, when they read the Bible and they don't use it to make anything out of it. And James uses the phrase deceiving your own selves. This word deceiving means a reasoning beside the point and therefore to miss it. He's saying people who hear the word of God and don't build anything out of it are people who miss the point. They, in politically correct language today, don't get it. They don't get it. They are simply piling the material up or examining the material, but they never use it to construct anything or to build anything. And he said, people who hear the word of God and don't do anything with it, they miss the point. They mislead themselves. An example of this fatal delusion I gave last Sunday afternoon in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus speaking of people who had heard the word of God but who had not done the word of God. In Matthew 7:21, he writes, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth," notice, "not he that heareth, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now here, people who come before the judgment of Christ, and this is in that day when all men are judged, and that particular time when all lost men are judged, and they say, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus said, "You know the word, you know a lot of words, you know the word kingdom, and you know the word heaven, and you know all these words, but you've never done anything with them. You never built anything out of them, and you're not going to heaven." But they'll say, "Lord, have we not prophesied?" Now here's people who are claiming that we have exercised spiritual gifts. "In thy name and in thy name cast out devils." They assume that the most dramatic of the intertestament gifts that they possessed would be strong, undeniable evidence that they had taken the truths of God and built something out of it. But Jesus said, his reply to their statement, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now here were people who heard, but they didn't take what they heard and build anything out of it. And here's the illustration that Jesus gave. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them," now that's hearing and doing, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Here's a person who took what they heard and built it into something, and they built it at the proper place. But notice, "And every one of that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built a house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." These parables that Jesus speaks here illustrate the possibility that people can hear Bible words. They can understand Bible words. They can hear words like faith and salvation and all these other things, and let it impel them into doing many wonderful things. But they haven't done the word of God. They're not doers of the word. And there's a difference in doing the word and doing things. If you do things, you'll never be saved. If you do things, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. You must first do the word of God. That is, build something out of the word of God, which is faith. And that will be the platform upon which you then do the things that are taught in the word of God. Now as we continue, here's an illustration of what people are like who hear the word of God and then do not do the word of God. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, that's the supposition. He's saying, now let us suppose that we have this circumstance. We have a person who listens, but they do not take what they hear and do anything with it. Now, we're not talking about someone hearing and then starting to go to church. We're not talking about someone hearing and then starting to be merciful. We're not talking about someone who hears and then starts to be kind. That's what these people did in Matthew 7. They heard and then they started acting out and following direction from the viewpoint of activity. And they had literally deluded themselves. They had deceived themselves. They thought that doing things was the same as doing with the word of God. But it isn't. You can do things and be lost. You have to do things with the word of God. That is, build something with the word of God. Accept what the word of God has to say. Now, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, what is he like? How can I illustrate how he has deceived himself, how he has missed the point? Notice, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word natural here means the face you were born with. It's Genesis. The original face, the mortal face. The word beholding means to observe. Here, the object of knowledge rather than the fact of knowing. So it has in it the meaning of considering attentively. Here's a fellow who walks by a mirror and he looks at the face that he was born with and he simply stops for a second and looks at himself. Not anything uncommon, not anything unscriptural, not anything vain, not anything wicked. He's not drawing a thing we ought not to do. He's not saying you ought not to look in mirrors. I notice the way some of the students come to school and I accuse them of dressing in the dark. Things don't match, at least as far as I interpret that. You ought to look in a mirror. Not anything wrong with looking in a mirror. And that's what this person did. They looked in a mirror and they just saw things as they were. Now notice, for he beholdeth, that is, he looked at himself and looked at himself rather attentively, but he goes his way. Now, it means that he immediately goes his way. That whatever he saw, it didn't prompt him to do anything. It didn't prompt him to say anything. He looked in this mirror and he left mentally and physically just like he'd always been. And then it states that he goeth his way and straightway, or that is immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he is. He forgot, even though he had looked and seen, and what he had looked and seen had no impact upon him at all. He simply just went on his way. It had no real meaning to him. He forgetteth what manner, what sort, what kind, and he does it immediately. The hearer of the word only is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees the face that he was born with. He looks at his face closely and sees himself as he really is, and he continues on his way. He, as a consequence of what he has seen, dismisses from his mind the sort of face that he has. This illustrates a person who looks into the Word of God and sees himself as he really is, sees himself as God sees him, and then as soon as he can, he dismisses the image from his mind. He then continues as he is without change. The implication is that when a person looks in a mirror and beholds the face they've been born with, they will see its flaws. They will see the things that reveal to them who they are. The implication is that there could be some adjustment made because they have just, quote, faced the facts. But they simply look at themselves, and unmoved by the facts they've seen, they go on. And the thing that's important in this illustration is that they dismiss it from their mind. That's what's important. The important point is that they look at themselves and they see themselves for they are, and they just dismiss it as quickly as they can from their mind. Implying again that it's like a person who looks into the Bible or who hears the Word of God preached, and they see themselves as they really are. For the first time, they see themselves as men, as women, as boys and girls. They see themselves deficient. They see themselves guilty. They see themselves incapable and incompetent. They see themselves as, quote, sinners. They see themselves outside the will, outside the fellowship, outside the relationship of God. But instead of doing something about it, they immediately dismiss it from their mind. They do not focus upon it. They simply walk away from it like the guy who walks by the mirror, sees something, and just walks on his way and dismisses the image from his mind. Now, let us continue. And let Jesus, through James, tell us about those who look into the perfect law of liberty. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, the word that's translated look here is different from the word that's translated look earlier. For now the word that's translated look means to stoop down near anything, to bend forward to get a closer look. So here's the fellow who walks by a mirror, sees himself as he really is, and then immediately dismisses that information from his mind. But here's another fellow who walks by a mirror and he sees his reflection, and as he sees his reflection, he stops and he bends closer to it, and he begins to gaze at his image intently in order to remember the kind of man that he is, with all of the warts, with all the bumps, with all the imperfections. Instead of being turned off by what he sees, in the sense of saying, I want to forget this as soon as I can, he simply says, I want to look with the implication of making things better, of making some kind of adjustment, of making some kind of improvement. He intently and bends forward and looks closely at his image. And what is he looking into? Into the perfect law of liberty. That's the Word of God. Perfect means complete or full. What has reached its end and is therefore without need. There aren't any books that need to be added to this book, and there aren't any books that need to be taken away from this. We don't need to take away Genesis and say that's something we don't need today. We don't need to take away Ecclesiastes. We don't need to take away Daniel, Ezekiel. We don't need to take away the book of Revelation. We don't need to take out of the Bible the book of James. We don't need to take a single sentence out of the Word of God, because as it is complete. The law, that is God's law, God's teaching, God's instruction. And you'll notice that these are laws, principles that lead to liberty and freedom. It's strange that laws would lead to freedom. There are people who say that laws enslave, but laws give freedom. It's the absence of law, the anarchy, that brings us to the point where we are imprisoned. Hey, let's think seriously about that statement for just a minute. If the law was rigidly enforced and obeyed here in this section of Little Rock, you could leave your doors open at night instead of there being something of an anarchy circumstance where you get inside and shut yourself up. The laws didn't make us slaves to the inside of our houses at night and cause us to walk about fearfully. It was the absence of the enforcement of the law. So the laws of God bring liberty to a man's soul. They bring freedom to a man's heart. We're able to walk outside the bars of our own conscience, of our own worthlessness, of our own deception. We're able to walk out of the jailhouse of who we are and go out into the sunshine of who God is. And how can we do that? By observing and believing the laws of God and not the laws that we have made for ourselves. Now notice, there's some very important things here. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. My friend, Plato is not the perfect law of liberty, as interesting as it is. Neither are any of the other philosophers who've ever written. Neither is the statements of our church fathers considered to be the perfect law of liberty. All of the commentaries and all of the interpretations and all of the books that have been written and all the statements that have been made by men, they are not the perfect law of liberty. Don't look in them. If you want to be free, look in God's Word. You say, well, what do I do? When you hear the words that come from this perfect law that brings liberty, use them to construct something. You can't just throw them and scatter them about. That's just being a hearer. You got to be a doer. Take the words that come from this book and use them to build something. What will they build? They'll build faith. Just keep that in mind. They'll build faith. The one who scrutinizes the complete Word of God that grants men freedom. Now notice, and continueth therein to remain nearby or with anyone to persevere in a thing. Here's a man who, when he walked by the mirror, first of all, he looked at himself and then he bent forward. He got closer. He began to scrutinize himself and who he was. And as he did this, he stuck to it. He didn't walk away from it. He stayed with it. Why? Because he wants to know who he is. He wants to know what he looks like. He's not afraid of the truth. Because he knows that if he will stick with the truth will make him free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But this man, when he walked by, he looked, then he scrutinized, and then he persisted in the scrutiny of his own natural face. And he, that is the kind of person who does this, being not a forgetful hearer, that is, he didn't do like the other person did who just looked in it, got a good revelation, didn't particularly like what he saw, or he wasn't interested in what he saw, and he just walked off. And he deliberately forgot about what he saw just as quickly as he could. And that is a perfect description of many people who come in contact with the Word of God And as they look at the Word of God, they don't like what the Bible says about them and who they are and what they need to do. And so they just shut it up and walk away from it rather than becoming a person who scrutinizes it not only at that time, but becomes a persistent scrutinizer of God's Word. And they're not trying to forget what they have heard and what they have learned. They're trying to build upon it. Now notice, we've got a very peculiar statement here. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, now notice, a doer of the work. We've had a doer of the word, W-O-R-D. Now we have, he being not forgetful, having gone through this whole process, now this person becomes a doer of the work, W-O-R-K, and the word that's translated work here is translated energy. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? Well, that which is brought into being by expending energy. Now listen, he becomes a doer who does. See? A hearer of the word. And as you hear the word, you become a doer of the word, which means that you build something out of it. After you have built something out of it, then you become a doer of the work. You become a doer who does. What do you do when you become a doer who does? Then you begin to outwardly and physically accomplish the things that God wants done. But doing the things that God wants done are not adequate things to change your heart and to make you a saved person, because these people I read about in Matthew the 7th chapter, they did, but they had never been doers of the word. They were simply doers, but not doers of the word. And you have to be a doer of the word first, because simply doing the work of God is not sufficient. You say, well, I'll tell you what I think I'm going to do. Brother, listen, I want to get right with God. I'm just going to start doing God's work, and you're going to die and go to hell. You say, I'm lost. I know I don't have a relationship with God. I know that I'm not right in the sight of God. There's something missing in my life. I'm just going to start doing church work. And if you do that and do that only, you are still a lost person who for your life you have used biblical names to do biblical things, but you've never become a doer of the word. You're a doer of the work. And a doer of the work is what doers of the word are supposed to do. But when people who've just walked by the Bible, got a glimpse of themselves, and then forgot what kind of person they were, and went to do the work of God, they cannot, by doing the work of God, change themselves into people who have a relationship with God. Now notice. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice, this person who looks into the perfect law of liberty, who continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now notice, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That is his working, what he does. It isn't saying this is what leads to salvation, but it is what men do who have been saved. They are now blessed in how they expend their energy. The word blessed means happy. That's its minor meaning. To take it, I think, as far as the Bible really wants us to take it, means joyfully and joyously confident. People who know who they are, people who know where they're going, people who know how they stand with God, these are the kind of people that do things for God, that reflect the right image of God, who give the right image of Christianity. He's happy in what he does. He's content in what he does. He reflects a joy in what he's doing. Rather than doing what he does to make himself pleasing to God, he has found God pleasing to himself in his soul, and by faith has received Christ. And then, as a doer of the word, he now becomes a doer of deeds. Before you do deeds, you need to be a doer of the word, and then you can be a doer of deeds. Doing deeds will not save you. Doing deeds will not cleanse you. Doing deeds will not make you right in the sight of God. These people did deeds of whom I have read. And Jesus, now this isn't someone else, but Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." But notice how they had done deeds. Rather fantastic thing. Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. These were doers of deeds. They had never been doers of the word. And doing deeds are not going to save anyone, but doing the word will save you. This morning we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as we sing it, if God is here, and I know that he is, and his Holy Spirit is here, and I know that it is, and you have heard the truth of God, and I know that you have, will you this morning be a doer of the word? You say, "Brother Penn, you mean as soon as I can get out of these four walls, go out and start doing something?" No, I don't mean that at all. Be a doer of the word. What do you mean, a doer of the word? Take the word of truth that's nigh thee, that is in thy heart, even in thy mouth. What is that? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. First of all, do the word. That is, make something out of it. You know, if some guy just randomly chose a lot of words and handed it to you and said, "How do you like my poem?" And you said, I don't even see any connection between the words. What do you mean? And just, you know, someone hands you a few pages out of the dictionary and say, "Read my beautiful poem." And you know, a lot of people are going to church and giving them money and praying, and they're saying, "Read my beautiful poem." But it's disconnected and disjointed. It has no rhyme nor reason. It's a deceptive thing. We'd think that, you know, you're never going to get a poetry published by sending in four or five pages of just randomly typed words. It's just, everyone knows better. And if you don't take God's word as its priest that's in your heart, that's in your mind, your soul, and you don't put it together, you don't let it have its work. You don't let it do to you what it needs to do. You're not a persistent viewer into the perfect law of liberty. You just get a gaze and then run on to do your own thing. It's not going to work. And these people who got before Jesus Christ in judgment, now they thought they'd really done something mighty and wonderful, and maybe they had. They'd built hospitals and been overseas as missionaries and done all these tremendous things, but Jesus said, "I never knew you," and the word "knew" there mean I never intimately and closely ever had a knowledge of you. I didn't know you. Didn't mean he didn't know who they were by name or what they'd done. He just said, we never had a relationship. That's the first thing you've got to have if you're going to be in heaven. You've got to have a relationship with God. The only way you're going to have a relationship with God is to have it through Jesus Christ. The only way you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is to do the Word. And what is the Word? Repent and believe, trust. That's doing the Word. Building something with it. Not just looking at it and then walking away and forgetting what manner of person you are. This morning, we can't save anyone. Obviously, here, we're incapable and incompetent of that. We cannot even furnish you a church through which, if you work hard, you can save yourself. What we can do is proclaim the message. We can tell you that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He is the person through whom, if we believe, we can have eternal life. We can give you an opportunity to make that decision and commitment here this morning. Or if you have made it and you desire to continue to build and to do the Word, we can give you opportunity for public profession. We give you opportunity for scriptural baptism as you continue to do the Word.